What's the thing that Flanders says? Does he say something?
Well, he says a lot of stuff, but he's high, like, hi diddly ho is how
hi diddly ho. That's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. Hi ho diddly. That's how he talks. Flanders here. Well, Homer, I don't even know how. That kind of sounds like him. He's like Southern, right?
He's, yeah, not super Southern. He's like.
He's not. The Watts will rise again.
Yeah, he's not like Alabama Southern. He's like West Virginia or like South Carolina Southern.
South Carolina or West Virginia? Those are huge.
I don't know why I said West Virginia. No, not West Virginia. I was thinking of South Carolina, but West Virginia came out of my mouth.
Just popped in.
Yeah.
They're like, that's a direction. West. That's it.
Yeah, I got my directions confused on that one.
Good, good.
Wicked smart, wicked cool, wicked fucking stupid, whatever the fuck. Something wicked.
I'm baking like a toasted cheese. It's so hot here.
My boy's wicked smart.
The boy is hotter than hot. He's hot.
Hot. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
I just saw Solo this weekend, and I really liked it a lot.
Really?
I did.
A lot of people would disagree with that.
I know, and I got to go on a rant on this because before we get into it, Wicked Hot, Kevin and John, welcome to another week, guys. I really hate that now. If there's one shred of political commentary in any movie, or if it's not a white person, a white man doing whatever, like, people immediately hate it. There was this robot that said a joke, and I'm pretty sure this is what pissed people off. Lando asks the robot, who is female, has a female voice, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Do you want anything?" And she says, "Equal rights." And he kind of scoffs, but it's like a joke. I'm right. Sure plenty of people were like, "Oh, fucking feminism. Oh, God damn it." You know, that's... People get all jumped up about this shit, and it really pisses me off because guess what, guys? The old Star Wars, we know, yeah, it's great. We love it, but it's gone. It's done.
Yeah.
This is a new stories, new stuff, new Han Solo. I thought the guy was really good as Han Solo. I like this. Some of it was like kind of generic stuff, but it was still Star Wars. It felt like Star Wars, at least to me. And this is from someone who doesn't like The Last Jedi. I hated The Last Jedi. So,
okay, I wasn't a big fan of it at all.
Right, but I like Solo, so I don't know. I guess I but that's my two cents.
Is it kind of like, is it along the lines of Rogue One or Last Jedi? Like, which one is it more towards?
Rogue One, just because it's in that same, but okay. It doesn't really deal too much with the Empire. It's very much, it deals within the Star Wars universe, although we see glimpses of the Empire, and there's really cool scenes. That feature the Empire, but for the most part, the whole movie is about the crime syndicates that go throughout the galaxy, which is really cool.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, but anyway, guys, yeah, sorry, I just had to get that out there because this is just something that was just on my mind. I'm like, I need to talk about it. But yeah, so this week should we post an Instagram picture and pretend like someone I don't really know. So we're not going to post an Instagram. I guess we will, but yeah. There's not going to be it because it's already pre-recorded at this point. But we are doing, since this is our 21st episode, we are going to be doing, best and worst. I mean, not really worst, but like all around, just drinking filled. And I guess we threw, for me, I kind of threw a mixture of drinking and drugs.
Okay.
And just like an all around, like fucked up, fuckery, yeah. Episode,
inebriated episode, yes.
Exactly. So we got a couple picks on like I guess best, as far as like, for me, like outcomes that really didn't affect the character in a poorly, and then of course things that went horribly wrong for that character. I don't know, Kevin, like I know we discussed our 21st birthday stories before, but I'm excited to talk about drinking in movies because this is interesting. The different ones that I completely forgot about and thought about.
Yeah, definitely. I came up with a few, and then I changed them so many times after. I was like, oh no, this one's so much better.
Yeah.
So there's so many good drinking scenes that you might not even think of them, but going back and trying to look for them, it's like there's some good drinking scenes out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Well, drinking scenes and movies coming up in the next couple of seconds. 3, 2, 1, get into it.
Ow. Ho, ho, ho. We gotta get you out of those wet clothes and into a dry martini.
What?
I said, ow, martini?
Get away from me.
All right.
So I'm not sure if this guy's just drunk all the time or angry or both, but he is a real piece of shit. And I'm talking about Franco Begbie in Trainspotting. I don't know if you remember this character, but Begbie is literally like the angriest person alive. And for most of the movie, I think he's probably the most unintelligible of all of them, as far as like subtitles are very, first of all, subtitles are very much needed for Trainspotting.
Yes.
So you're behind the subtitles when they're talking English because they're
oh,
not
yeah.
speak.
Like it's like Brad Pitt's character in
Snatch.
Yes.
Snatch.
Where, yes. Yeah. Yeah, like same scenario. I need subtitles for that shit.
Yeah. So I'm specifically talking about the scene where Begbie, he's telling a story and he instigates a bar fight. So he's talking about a story about how he lost his shit some other time. And I think this could be a twofer because the story is he's playing pool and he's trying to shoot a shot, except the guy, there's some guy in the bar and he's opening a bag of chips and he takes the cue and rips right through like the felt of the table.
Yeah.
And he loses his shit and just starts beating the shit out of this guy. So he's telling the story about this at a bar. And once he's done telling the story, he chugs his beer. And they're sitting on a balcony. He chugs his beer and he just tosses the pint glass behind him. And you hear it crash. And a girl's face is like covered in blood. Like it shatters on her face. She is like really hurt. And he goes downstairs and he's like, what happened to this lassie? We need to know what fucking cunt did this. We got to make sure we get him. And everyone knows it's him and he knows it's him. And the guy who is with this girl just tells him, who the fuck are you? And then he just goes off. He's like, yes. And then he punches the guy in the dick or kicks the guy in the dick. And a huge bar fight and it just starts happening. So this is just ultimate, just douche move, but also kind of like, he's so crazy and so, I don't know if, like I said, I just don't know if he's drunk. It's just, he is a psychopath, but he gets exactly what he wanted. He wanted to start a fight.
He loves to start shit. Yeah, that's his fucking game. So yeah, that the fact that all this shit happens, and the funniest part is when he's like looking for who did this.
Yeah.
it's so funny. And the fact that he gets what he wants, he gets a fucking huge ass bar brawl out of it. That could be like one of the best bar brawl scenes ever.
It is. Because it's funny because when he's telling the story, he's probably seems the most calm he's ever been in the movie. Because he's like having a great time. He's telling this story that isn't accurate because it jumps to how the story actually went with the other guy. And, he just is finished, and then he literally just like casually tosses it behind him, knowing that it's gonna fucking hit someone. And then he's over there, just all right, let me investigate, but not really. I'm just waiting for someone to just call me out on this, and I'm gonna go to town. But yeah, he's a real piece of shit, a real horrible human being. But I mean, if I could see it safely from a window, I'd be entertained for sure.
That's the kind of thing that you see on a cell phone camera from across the world street
star.
Nowadays. Yeah, that's some world star shit.
Yeah, you don't want to be anywhere near that horrible thing. But no. He seriously was just like the fact that the glass just shatters all over this girl's face is like it's completely red, just covered in blood. And he's just like, all right, everybody calm down. We need to find out who did this. We can't let that fucker leave. And I'm the one who did it. I'm not what am I doing? You know?
Yeah, I love his reaction and just like him waiting to get a reaction out of somebody is just, it's yeah, amazing. I haven't seen that movie in like 15 years.
Isn't there another one?
Yeah, the second one is coming out this year, I think.
Right.
Which is like 22 years later.
So. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, Ewan McGregor and everybody in that movie looks like a fucking baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize, like Ewan McGregor's in it. That other, he's like a Scottish guy, but I know he's in that movie, The Rundown. He's always like some crazy fucking Scottish dude. I don't know. There's just like a lot of character actors that you see later on that I've seen in stuff, but like when they're like kids, basically, because that's what they look like. Movie is like really, really dated. But
did you go back and watch some of it?
I did.
How does it look? Does it hold
it's
up?
Weird.
It's
been
a
weird
long time since I've seen it.
I was also watching another movie. This is completely like off topic, but I was watching RoboCop. And after they remastered things, like it looks dated, sure, but like the picture looks really good. Like Trainspotting looked really good. I was like, oh shit, like yeah, it looks like it's from the 90s, but it almost looks like as if it was intentionally made to look like it's from the 90s, if that makes sense.
It's like a current film, like a period piece.
Yeah.
A 90s period piece.
Whoever thought a 90s movie would be a period piece.
Yeah. So going off of a horrible experience at a bar, this is actually an awesome experience at a bar.
Okay.
And it's the bar scene from Office Space.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically when they find out, like, they're getting fired, basically.
Yeah.
They all go to the bar and hang out. And that's when they come up with the plan to fuck over the company. But so they're at the bar that night, and they are getting fucking hammered, having breakdancing contests, like, dancing to hardcore gangster rap music. Like, that's the kind of drinking that you want to do with friends.
Yeah.
And then it all caps off with the most epic scene in Office Space, the printer destruction.
Yeah.
Battle Royale with this printer. And they're all just fucking hammered, having a good time. I guess until the end of the printer scene when they just get angry and just start beating it with their hands. But this scene is like a pivotal scene in the movie because it like starts the plan of how the movie is going to go. But just like when you're with friends hanging out drinking, like that's the type of night that you want to have. You don't want to have bar brawls and women getting hit in the face with glasses.
Yeah,
like this is the type of shit that you want to do. You want to break.
You
want to
just break dance and beating up an inanimate object is for sure like a way to do it.
Yeah, and that's like the only time that it's acceptable is like when you're drunk, and it's maybe
not. Because it's not like you're angry really. It's like. You're just like, let's fuck some shit up.
I'm going to get the baseball bat. Let's fuck some shit up. Yeah. It's
but it was a controlled environment, so they were still kind of being somewhat responsible.
Yeah, it's not like they were going to their house and just start swinging bats around. They did at least go off into the desert.
Oh, yeah, they did. Actually, it's funny because I heard a story from an intern that worked in my office where he was so drunk that he took a planter and threw it through a bar window and just ran. And moral of the story is to not do that because he thought he got away and he did not. but
how did he think he got away?
I don't know.
Did he just run like a block? It was like, I beat him.
No, he ran away and he got away, but apparently he knew someone that worked there and they were saying like, you need to come in and like, because they're going to call the cops on you.
Wow.
So, so basically he worked as an intern to pay off that window the entire time he was there.
Aren't interns unpaid?
No, he was paid because he wasn't taking it for credit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he worked there to pay for the window and then he quit. That's hilarious.
I mean, that was off topic, but as far as Office Space, it is like one of like the best scenes of the movie.
Yeah.
Cause you're right. Cause it's like a bunch of like goofy white guys that work at a company, like breakdancing to gangster rap, beating shit up.
Yeah.
Like, the opposite of the quintessential goofy white guy.
Yeah, it's a great scene, but I went back and watched most of the movie when I saw this, and the movie, first of all, it's about the year 2000 Switch, so it already doesn't hold up, but like it looks like a 90s movie.
It does, yeah. I know, yeah. It looks like garbage.
It's like Trainspotting, but a little less 90s.
It's kind of weird because I feel like for movies that I think of from like the like older times, like 80s and stuff, like all 80s, maybe like late 80s, like maybe for some things early 90s, they don't feel as dated. But for like anything mid 90s to late 90s to even early 2000s, I'm like, damn, this movie looks old as fuck. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I lived it. I'm just like, damn.
No, I think it's because the technology to shoot movies was like so much in transition in the 90s that like they were using worse, if this makes sense, they were using worse digital shit than the film shit in the 80s.
Okay.
So that's kind of why the 80s stuff can hold up, but the 90s stuff can't.
Well, that brings us back to our CGI episode where like the 90s CGI was just like, at the time, groundbreaking, but it still was in a transition phase.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's got way off topic.
Yeah, no, it did. I like it, though. It was good. It was good. All right, well, so bringing it back in anyway, and to talk about a good time that I guess some people kind of got hurt, I suppose. At least emotionally rather than physically. But I'm talking about Jordan Belfort preparing for a flight in Wolf of Wall Street. I really wanted to do the Quaalude scene where he's just hanging out at home and then he becomes retarded. But I settled on him getting blackout before riding a plane, because at least that this one had alcohol entailed with the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if no one remembers the scene, before they even get on the plane, he's explaining how he has a flight and he's drinking at dinner. Then he goes to like a rave and he's like fucking some chick and he's literally looks like he's brain dead. Just like she's like riding his dick and he's just fucking like passed out basically. More drinking and drugs. Finally, they board the plane and he is, well, really everyone except for like his other, that other guy with the toupee is shit faced.
Yeah.
He and Donnie, which is
Jonah Hill.
Are both fucking plastered.
Yeah.
So they are trying to get them in the seats, and the guy with the toupee is trying to put them in their seats, and they're like grabbing his hair and like not letting him go, trying to pull his hair off. And then the flight attendant comes by and she's like, "You need to put your seatbelts on." She's like, "I can do it for you." And he's like, "All right." So then she's like straddling him, trying to put the seatbelt on, and they're like pretending she's like a stripper or whatever. And, then that part, the scene transitions and the scene transitions. He wakes up and he's like all tied up.
Yeah. He's tied
like,
down.
And he's like, "Dude, you went fucking ballistic." And then it's just showing him like fucking like licking this flight attendant and like dry humping her. And then the captain and everybody's like trying to like put him down. And they're like, "You were going to get tased. You called the captain an N-word." And he's like, "But luckily we're in first class, so none of this shit matters." So this is the point I'm trying to make, is just that these guys are having like a hell of a time in their head, but they're being complete assholes.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They're still fucking rich as hell and
just, no consequences. It's
no consequences at all. I mean, the minute he gets on the plane, he's like, "Oh, I want to fuck her." Like to the flight attendant, I'm just like, "God damn, this." He is just completely. Oh, and then when they were yelling like "Hilfe, Hilfe," when she's like yelling for someone to help her out, they're like yelling for her too, like "Hilfe, help, Hilfe, come help us." Yeah,
that's Wolf pretty much. That's like every drunk person thinks that they're not being an idiot, but like when you're the sober person, everybody pisses you off. Like everybody's being a dipshit.
Yeah.
Nobody realizes it. They take that like to the next level.
Like, yeah.
They think they're having a good time. Everyone's in on the joke. No, it's not true. Nobody's in on it. Everyone hates you.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, maybe at a bar where, like, the employees are sober and it's just like, all right, this guy's just being an asshole.
Yeah.
You're on a plane where everyone, mostly everyone, is sober.
Yeah.
Especially the flight attendants. So no one is having a good time with this, like, fuckery. And that's I think Wolf of Wall Street did it the best to show. Like, it was funny, but at the same time, it's like sad. Like, that. Yeah. These guys are doing this, you know?
Yeah.
I think Martin Scorsese did, like, the best to portray. It was weird because it's like he portrayed it so well where it's like we're having fun with them, but at the same time we're thinking, wow, these guys are such assholes. Like, I would hate to be. It's weird how he showed, like, the sober view as well as the drunk view of,
yeah,
what these guys were going through, like, during the exact same time.
Yeah, that's a cool piece of filmmaking in general.
It really is. Most people think it's like a comedy, but it's a very well crafted movie.
It is. Yeah, it does a very good job of showing both aspects, like with the Quaalude scene, like what he thinks happened and what actually happened is very far from the same.
It's my favorite. It's funny. I thought of the Quaalude scene, which made me think of this scene because we were watching Patrick Melrose on Showtime, and this takes place during the 80s, and Benedict Cumberbatch takes a Quaalude, and it's the same thing. He's like, this hasn't hit me yet. So then it just hits him, and he is like crawling through a hotel room, like, lobby, like, and like falling on like to like a stoop, like where a window is, and he's just trying to make his way. He's like, hello, like, okay, and he's just moving his shoulders. Just, it's, that drug looked like it fucked you up big time.
Yeah. What actually was it? Is it a sleeping drug or is it a pain?
Yeah. Prescribed for insomnia.
Oh yeah. Because he says in the movie, if you stay up,
if you try and stay up
past
high.
The 30 minutes or whatever.
Oh god.
Damn, that's got to be hard to stay up. I take a fucking Benadryl and I'm like dying to stay
up.
Do
people get high off Benadryl?
No, but it puts me to sleep. It puts most people to sleep.
Right. I feel like if you stay up, it's like that Freddy, like, Nightmare on Elm Street feeling where you're awake, but you're
just in
now
stupor.
In like Freddy's world. You're in Freddy's nightmare world.
Yeah, you're like half conscious. Yeah.
Yeah. So for people out there, the standard one tablet adult dose of Quaalude was 300 milligrams. And apparently a dose of 8,000 milligrams is lethal, and a dose of 2,000 could induce a coma if taken with an alcoholic beverage. So how the fuck were these guys alive?
They both took two pills, right? And got drunk.
Right.
Right? So...
Right.
That doesn't make sense. They should have died.
No, they definitely should have been dead, for sure. Unless it's the two 300 milligram things, then I guess they're fine, but even still.
And they have to have a wicked tolerance to that shit.
Oh, for sure.
So, funny enough, mine also takes place on an airplane.
That's a funny transition right there.
So, mine's Bridesmaids. And
okay.
It's the part where Kristen Wiig is... They're getting on the plane to go to the bachelor party, and the friend that she's always trying to one-up gives her like an Ambien or something, sometimes a sleeping pill,
right?
And then she also has a few drinks on the plane, and the scene is hilarious.
It is.
So she's basically trying to sneak into first class while super fucked up the entire time.
Yeah.
And she really fucks it up because she pretty much starts off the whole encounter with the stewardess by quoting Hitler, like pretending to be Hitler.
Yeah, she's like, "Auf Wiedersehen." Yeah. Yes, I do remember this. Yes.
So it's so ridiculous, and the male flight attendant is like not having any of her bullshit. You could tell he deals with this shit. So.
Oh yeah.
She goes back to her seat in coach, and everyone is sitting in first.
By
class.
The way, I will say this about first class: the curtain. I always hated that curtain, and any plane. And You know, do you know what I'm talking about? The curtain separates first class with coach passengers.
Yeah.
And it's like a shitty curtain. It doesn't even fucking close all the way. It's like a piece of fabric that just hangs there.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a velvet, like, swaggy.
No, it's just a piece of shit curtain that is separating us by class, which is bullshit. But it's funny because in the movie, when she does open it up, she's like, this used to be open to civil rights, the 90s. The guy's like, you're in the wrong decade.
That part is so great. But it gets even better when she comes back and she finds an empty seat. She just sits down in it.
Oh, yes.
And the stewardess comes up and he's just like, ma'am. And she knows, like, right away, she's like, no, it's not me. I'm Mrs. Iglesias. With my husband. And she makes up this all elaborate story. And the guy's like, no, you were just in here a second ago, like, trying to get into first class. And the friend is like, oh, she can take mine. Everyone should experience first class once in their life, even if they're poor. And Kristen Wiig goes, yeah, help me, I'm poor.
Yeah.
And it just, like, escalates from there. And finally, I think she gets kicked back into her coach seat.
She does, yes.
Yeah. So that's a ridiculous scene. But there's also another scene in Bridesmaids where not only is it like a hilarious scene, but it's so fucking awkward to watch.
It is.
And it's the toast when I think it's the bridal shower.
Yeah, one of those. Bridal or engagement party.
Engagement party, yeah. So they're who gives the first toast? The friend does.
She does. No, she does.
Oh, yeah.
She gives
okay.
the first.
She gives the first toast.
It's like short.
It is real short. Yeah. And then the friend comes up and gives like this inside joke filled toast.
Yeah. It's like a longer speech.
Yeah. And then at the end, she says, and she keeps saying this throughout the toast. She says the dessert wine has been served, like, to wrap everything up. Like, no one can top this. Yes. Kristen Wiig comes back and just tries to throw in like really awkward inside jokes that nobody else is getting.
Right.
And finally they come back up together and they're like dueling speeches. And the other one keeps saying that the dessert wine is served. And then she's like, Consuela, like, wrap this shit up. Like, speaking of Consuela, we took Spanish. It's like, Jesus Christ.
She just starts literally saying random words. She's saying like blue. Yes, I like to live in the house.
Yeah.
Just random shit. And then she just starts babbling at the end. And then they start singing.
Yeah, they break out into song, which is like Kristen Wiig starts it. And then the friend comes in halfway through and just kind of tries to overshadow. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think at this point, everyone's basically laughing at them, at both of them.
Yes.
Because it's so ridiculous. Which, a little caveat, I hate when people sing in public. It's weird and it's very annoying.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a even if you're a professional singer, I don't want to hear it. And we've talked about this before. Like, if I'm going to hear a song, it's going to be recorded in a studio with instruments and other stuff. And even then, the sound of the human voice is just...
Yeah. I don't like to be put in the position of being around, like, in an intimate group where somebody's singing.
Right.
Because you can't be like Simon Cowell. You got to be like Paula. You got to be... You got to be super nice about it. Like, oh, God, that was great. You can't be like Simon. Like, God, that was the worst shit I've ever heard in my life.
Seriously. Okay, so there was this girl that my cousin dated a while back. And she went to self-titled singer. She considered herself a singer. And I remember my dad always puts people in these awkward spots cuz he likes it. But, like, he likes to hear people sing. I don't know why. He's just like, oh, let's hear you sing. You sing us a song. This is during a Christmas party. So she gets up there and starts singing, and Marissa and I look at each other. And I was like, no. So then we went into the patio and waited till it was over. We're the only ones in the patio, just her and I.
Didn't listen to the...
Oh, I listened, and... I mean, she was good, but I just was like, nope. Not for me. I'm not listening to someone sing in my dad's Christmas party. That's not happening.
That's kind of weird. I mean, I would at least stick around out of not respect, but I guess.
I have no respect. You know this.
I guess just not to make a scene on me. Like, I don't want anybody to be like, hey, why'd you leave during that song?
That's true. But I didn't want to. I wish I could just start clapping when she started singing. Like, all right.
You should have interrupted her and given a toast.
Yeah. Great. Great. This is great. All right. Good job.
Have you been in that position very often where you have to excuse yourself from somebody singing?
Most recently, and this was actually by coincidence and not by me purposefully doing this, but I hate the Happy Birthday song.
God, I do too.
It's a horrible song, and I ended up going to the bathroom after dinner, and one of Marissa's friends was getting Happy Birthday song to her, and I missed it. And they had the cake and they were already eating. I was like, oh, whoops. But not really, because I'm happy I missed that.
Yeah, so you didn't feel bad about missing the birthday song?
No, I mean, I've been put in situations where I just don't, just like singing in general. I'll roll my eyes and make a stink.
Do you sing? When it's happy birthday, do you sing?
No, I just clap.
Like a monkey?
And nod my head. I just clap. And
Okay, I see.
I guess like a monkey, like a cymbal monkey, like I do like a...
Yeah, okay.
I clap like a cymbal monkey and I just look like an idiot just to get it over with. Like, all right, let's...
At least the song is short. They need a shorter song of, like a shorter version of Happy Birthday.
I just say Happy Birthday. Here's your cake, Happy Birthday. Yeah, Happy Birthday! Everyone say Happy Birthday at the same time. That should be the new...
like everyone's tradition. Getting ready. They're like, all right, everybody say happy birthday at the same time.
Yeah.
And then they count, say happy birthday, and then that's the end. That takes about the amount of time that singing happy birthday does.
I will say, sometimes I get a call on my birthday where someone sings happy birthday to me the minute I pick up the phone.
Fucking annoying.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap this up.
I hate that.
I just won't pick up on my birthday.
Usually the last few birthdays I've gotten away with saying like, oh, I just don't sing. Like, please don't sing. I gotta go start with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does work sometimes.
You can get away with it when it's on your birthday. But you can't get away with it. Yeah.
When it's on your birthday, it's like, I just want cake. Don't worry about the song. But really, I just don't want to hear the fucking song.
Right. When you're someone else's birthday, maybe they like hearing the happy birthday song. You can't be like, all right, guys, I think that's enough for this person. No more singing happy birthday. Come on.
Yeah, you need to go in there. You'd be like, guys, I just want cake. Let's have no song. But they're like, it's not even your birthday, dipshit.
And to bring it back to Bridesmaids, because that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
When the friend, like the really annoying friend, is talking, she's like the person that I would want them to shut up immediately. Like the entire time she speaks, like her voice is like, oh my God. And you remember when we did this and this and this? I'm like, hi. No, nope. Nope. Just no. Close your mouth. Just that's enough. I can't listen to people that do speeches that are very, I don't know. They just have like that annoying way about them.
Yeah, it's not just the voice, it's the fact that everything's an inside joke, and then she makes it seem like she's the best speaker, public speaker ever.
Yeah.
I know people that give toasts like that, and I don't like it.
Right. And also, she made it seem like they're the best friends. Even if they are the best friends, the fact that you know that you're best friends annoys me. Like, that's just like an unwritten rule.
That's like, that's also who your best friend is.
And your best friend knows who your best friend is. And also, who has best friends as an adult?
Yeah, no.
Your best friend's your partner.
Yeah.
I think. You spend the most time with them and you don't want to kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Marissa's my best friend. I'm sure Kathy's your best friend. So,
yeah. After 10, almost 11 years, I still like hanging out with her.
That's a best friend.
That's a best there friend right there.
There you go. All right, cool. Well, I guess we'll get into the part of the show where we talk about the drunk times for these characters that did not end so well. And I'm just going to start mine off with Gary Johnson. And no, I'm not talking about the independent candidate in the 2016 election, in case people knew that was a candidate. I'm talking about Gary Johnson from Team America World Police.
Oh, my God.
Specifically.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So this ends badly for Gary Johnson. But we do get some pretty hilarious exposition about the three types of people that I want to break down for you, Kevin. There's pussies, dicks, and assholes. So we get this part where Gary Johnson's in a bar and he's like being self-loathing. He's drinking away. Some guy walks up to him and he's like, "What's going on?" And he then gets into this exposition of the three types of people. And he says, "Pussies think everyone can get along. Dicks just want to fuck everything without thinking it through. And assholes just shit all over everything." And then he's like, "But it's okay. Because pussies get fucked by dicks, but dicks also fuck assholes." And he's just talking about that. And he's just saying, like, "There, if they didn't fuck assholes, there'd be shit all over their dicks," or something like that. So we get that. But then Gary Johnson, immediately he says something about, like, shit on your dick, he pukes, like, at the bar. And then you get the bartender's like, "All right, get out of here. You're not welcome here." And he is like, again, if you haven't seen Team America, they're marionette puppets. I will get a shout out to Josh because he actually made me see this movie. I'd never seen
it. You hadn't seen it until recently?
Right. I didn't see it until, yeah. Josh told me to watch it and we finally watched it. So shout out to you, Josh. Yeah. So the marionette puppet is just like stumbling around the bar trying to leave. And then he goes out into the alleyway and he just like pukes once. And there's just some like old lady looking out into the alley.
Yeah.
Like, "Get, you fucking homeless bum, like, get out of the street."
It's like what you would find in New York City if you never lived in New York City. It's like what you would imagine. Like a exactly. lady in a nightgown just like yelling across the street.
With hair curlers.
Yes.
Like the roll things in her hair.
Yeah.
So at this point, he is projectile vomiting. And it's funny because I noticed this from the first time I saw it was the music swells every time he like yeah. it escalates. Like he pukes a little bit and then he like gets up. He's like, and then it's just like done. He starts like puking again. And then it gets to the point where he's just spouting. It's just spraying out of his mouth. He's like, "Wah, wah, wah." And this is it goes on for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Where he's just coming consistently puking, which is one of the funniest scenes in the movie. I laugh every time I watch it.
It is.
And then finally he passes out in a puddle of vomit that is probably like three times the size of his physical body, which
yeah,
so, not a good look.
That scene, I like how at the end when he's throwing up and it turns like really meta where yeah. like it's running out and you just see like sprays coming out, but it's like you could tell the pump is just out of vomit, like fake vomit.
Yeah, it's just spewing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's hilarious.
Have you known anyone that's like puked like that? Is it spraying all over?
No. He throws up like six Goom. Times. Like six times of what like a normal drunk person would throw up.
Oh, like he is for sure alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. No, I've never seen anyone throw up like that even once.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite scenes just because it's so ridiculous, but I love the score that's behind it. Every time it just gets bigger and bigger and it gets to this point where it's just so ridiculous. I don't know how you don't like cough up a lung from the amount of like vomit that's coming out of his mouth. But yeah,
every time you think it's gonna end too, it's just like the just music's dying down, and then it ramps back up. And it's like, okay, I laughed after two, and it's six now, and I'm still laughing. This
is I know
gold.
It is gold. I will give it to them that they really made that scene hilarious. That whole movie is hilarious. If you've never seen it like me, you need to watch it. Yeah, I guess final thoughts on Gary Johnson.
That's hilarious scene. But the movie in general is a great movie. I really wish we had a second Team America movie.
They really should come out with a second Team America.
Yeah, I actually watched behind the scenes of that, and they said it took them so long to do it because of the puppets and the whole scaling of stuff. Right. They had to make everything. They said it took way too long, and they never wanted to do it again.
Oh shit! Okay, well, I guess we'll get another one.
Maybe somebody will offer them a bunch of money for it.
Hopefully that happens. Well, yeah, like many scenes that we're probably going to be going over this episode. They all kind of happen to be in a bar, and yours is no different. Mine ends with puking. Yours ends with a lot worse shit.
Yeah, mine has like a very dark, horrible ending, but it's a very funny build up to that ending.
It is.
So I'm talking about the bar scene from Goodfellas.
Yes.
And so that basically, if you haven't seen it, or you don't remember, the scene starts off with, I can't remember the character's name, but he gets out of jail. This is like his coming home party.
Billy Bats.
Bats. Comes back from being in prison for a long time. I think like 10 years.
Yeah, it's a while.
Yeah, and he's drinking. You could tell he's pretty fucked up. And he's saying hi to all the guys. Ray Liotta.
Robert De Niro.
And then Joe Pesci walks in. And the guy's like, basically, he's giving him shit like right off the start. He's like, all right, I'm going to go say hi. So they go says hi. And the guy gives him like a violent hug. Almost like shaking him, hugging him.
Yeah, and it's funny because like, and this is like, Joe Pesci is sneakily like a very, I know he plays like the same roles every time, but
yeah.
In this scene, when he does that, his face is one of rage, but he's trying to hide it because he's like, this fucking guy is over here messing with my suit. He's like, don't touch the suit, you know?
Yeah, and he keeps giving him shit about that. And then he finally goes back, Joe Pesci goes back to his group of friends, and he's still talking shit. And he basically goes into this story about how he used to shine shoes. He used to make him look like a fucking mirror. And what did he call him? Something Shinebox Jimmy or something?
No, I don't know what he called him, but I know he'd like be like, he'd shine the shoes, and then he says, well, I don't know if you heard, but I don't shine shoes anymore.
Yeah.
I don't do that thing.
Yeah. So he's like, well, yeah, he's like, I don't know if you heard, but I'm not shining shoes anymore. You've been gone a long time. And I think that was the comment that kind of set him off, like, you've been gone a long time type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And he's basically like, all right, I'm not trying to start anything. So they do a little cheers. He takes a shot.
Say sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he goes, now go home and get your fucking shine box. And then Joe Pesci just fucking loses it. And the guy, what's his name? Joey Bats?
Billy Bats.
Joey Bats is Jose Bautista.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because that part, he's like egging him on. They get him out of there. And it's funny because Billy Bats is like, look, he's being like an asshole to me, not showing any respect. But Robert De Niro's reaction in the bar is like, no, you
insulted him a little bit. Yeah.
And he's like, no, I didn't insult nobody. And then Robert De Niro's just like, okay, all right.
Yeah, like he knows what's about to happen. But it's funny because like the guy fucking with him either doesn't realize how bad he's fucking with Joe Pesci or doesn't think it's that big a deal, like he's just breaking his balls type thing.
But I think that's how it was at first, but then at the other point where Joe Pesci loses his shit, he just doesn't care. Because, I mean, he's like a top mafia guy. Like, not to spoil it or anything, but, I mean, come on. It's an old movie, but when Joe Pesci gets killed in the movie, they say it's because they knew he killed Billy Bats, right?
Right.
Because he was a made guy. You can't just... Yeah. Kill a made guy. He killed the made guy. Permission.
And this was right before Joe Pesci was like about to be made.
Right.
So, like, he thought he was going to his, like, little maid ceremony, and that's when he ends up getting killed.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty rough scene.
Very rough scene. But, yeah, so they Joe Pesci leaves the bar, and the night's, like, winding down, and there's only Ray Liotta, Robert De Niro, and Billy Batts left. And then Joe Pesci comes in. Ray Liotta knows what's going down, so he, like, goes to lock the door immediately. And
I'm wondering how they got, like, how did they know they were going to do this is my question, you know?
That's what I was wondering with Robert De Niro, because immediately, as soon as he kind of sees Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro grabs Billy Batts.
Yeah.
And, like, holds him for Joe Pesci to just start beating the shit out of him.
And they both start wailing on him while Ray Liotta's like, fuck, like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, they're, like, stomping on him, kicking him. That's a brutal scene there. Like, they really fuck him up.
And he's not dead, by the way.
No. No. That's actually the intro scene. Like, it flashes back.
Yeah. Because then Joe Pesci takes a fucking kitchen knife and starts stabbing the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then Robert De Niro finishes him off with the fucking gun.
Yeah.
Although I'm pretty sure he was dead after like 50 fucking stab wounds.
Probably, yeah.
So, yeah, not a good way to end the night.
No, that's a horrible way to end the night. Go out, get fucked up with your friends after coming back from prison, and then end up getting beat, stabbed, and shot.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great scene. I love the scene. I love this movie. But yeah, if you're going out with your friends and you're drinking, and you're being an asshole, like, this is, first of all, the last thing you would expect, especially, okay, fine. You wouldn't expect it if you're just being, like, you know, you or I being an asshole at a bar,
yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm not. I'm sure you're not either. But
no.
Yeah, there's some asshole at a bar that's just busting everyone's balls, trying to get the worst thing, he's going to get into a fight, get beat up a little, maybe, or get thrown out.
Yeah.
This guy has the protection, right? He, or at least the illusion of protection.
Yeah.
He's a made guy and he can just fuck with anyone. He knows there's not going to be any repercussions. Without night is winding down and you're like, all right, I'm going to go home, and you turn around and you're getting fucking killed. Not a good look.
That's worst case scenario. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the last thing you'd expect, honestly.
Yeah. Turn around. Oh man, I'm tired. I'm going to want to go lay in bed and eat Jack in a Box or whatever. And it's like, nope.
Nope. You're going to get beat, stuffed in a trunk, stabbed, and then shot and buried.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that definitely sucks. And RIP Billy Batts.
Or Joey Batts.
Or Joey Batts. Whichever it is.
Whichever one it is.
Well, speaking of prison, my next thing actually ends up with my character getting arrested again. And that's with Jack Sparrow in Pirates of the Caribbean. I was specifically talking about the scene where Jack Sparrow and Elizabeth Swann, which is Keira Knightley, get marooned on a deserted island by the pirates. So I know anything with Jack Sparrow can technically be considered a drunk scene because he's like the most functional drunk in the history of ever.
He's drunk the entire movie.
Yeah, he is. Which, anything with Jack Sparrow is great, right?
I just wonder how it's even possible to be drunk for that long.
Without dying?
Or he's like the perfect level of drunk the entire time.
He must just be buzzed. Because, like, I'm thinking of the person that's drunk all the time, which was Nicolas Cage's character in Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And he was dying, like, the entire movie.
Yeah, Johnny Depp's character is like, he's sipping, it's like he's like sipping scotch like every hour. He has like a timer to go off. And he's in that like sweet spot of being like just perfectly buzzed and not like overly fucked up.
Maybe he
was not sober.
I was gonna say maybe he was partaking in other variety of, I guess, downers or uppers, I guess. Maybe he was doing drugs too, and we just never saw it because it's a Disney movie. And they were like, "All right, we'll excuse the alcohol. He's a pirate."
Yeah,
I'm sure there was drugs back then. Maybe he's doing some opium or something. I don't know. And he was just like always like on an opium high, just like, hey, what's going on? Which is, I don't know if that's how you are on opium. I don't know if anyone does opium anymore that isn't heroin.
Does that even exist?
I'm sure it does.
I've never known anyone to take that. But I don't know a lot of
opiate abusers.
Yeah, I don't know many of those.
But yeah, so the scene I'm talking about when they get marooned, it's not really a good look for Jack Sparrow because, yeah, he gets to hang out with just Keira Knightley, marooned by themselves, and they get drunk together. He gets a little date rapey. And by a little, I mean a lot.
A little creepy.
Like he's definitely trying to fuck Keira Knightley the entire time. And it's not a good look for him. Plus, we also, like, he describes how, because Keira Knightley's like, oh, we got to escape this island or whatever. And he's like, nope, we're not doing that. And she's like, wait, but you got a bunch of sea turtles and you were able to make a raft and escape. And he's like, no, this is actually an island where they smugglers used to like stash rum or whatever. And he like goes and then there's just like a huge pile of of rum bottles. And they're just like at night, just fucking drinking, dancing around a fire, which is all awesome. Right.
Yeah.
But then he's trying to kind of like, you know, get her a little loose and it's kind of weird and stuff. And she ends up falling asleep. And we don't know what happens after that. I'm assuming he was as much of a gentleman as he can be. But then he gets up and Elizabeth's setting like the whole island on fire. She takes like all the alcohol and is like burning it. And the whole like forest or whatever that's in there is like on fire. So she could get like a signal out to a nearby ship, which she eventually does. And it ends up being a Royal Navy ship to which Jack Sparrow once again gets arrested. So he has like a little fantasy for like a couple hours, gets to hang out with a girl on a beach, drink, have fun. And then he wakes up and she's burning down the whole island and he only gets arrested. Which is not a good look for anybody. If you're like doing that, go drink on a beach with a girl. Next thing you know, she's burning down the whole island and you are the one that answers for that crime for some reason.
Yeah, it went from being like a dream scenario to like a nightmare scenario. But you know, if this wasn't a Disney movie, like she would have been raped.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a pirate, right?
Yeah, that's just not realistic.
It's not.
They need more raping and pillaging in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. Maybe that's why they're dying.
Yeah, maybe that's what'll save the franchise, is more raping and pillaging in this day and age. That's exactly what we need to
Yeah, well, maybe in this day and age, it has to be some women taking charge and raping guys.
That's true. Kind of like a Eurotrip, like Vondersex.
Yeah.
But the guys come in with the like the dildo drill. So I guess final thoughts on Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, no, Jack Sparrow. Jack Sparrow, he gets away with a lot of stuff when drunk, but here he doesn't.
Yeah, and it's like, what did he really do this time where he should have got arrested? Like, not really anything. Like, she burned the island down, basically.
Right.
He wasn't responsible for getting them marooned there.
Right.
And then he takes the brunt of the punishment.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. Like, of all the crimes you commit, this is the one you get.
Yeah, it's not something that you did.
This is like the Al Capone tax evasion thing. I mean, he did it, but of like all the murdering and racketeering and all the other shit, he's just like, he didn't pay taxes. And that's what got him.
Yeah.
Exactly. So bad way for a criminal to go. Bad way for someone who's drunk and just getting over a hangover to wake up having your whole place burned down by a girl and then getting arrested for it.
Yeah,
that might be my worst drunken night or drunken like effect of being drunk for me.
Definitely. So my last one actually takes place at a wedding, actually a couple weddings, because there's two amazing drunk scenes in this that end pretty horribly. Talk about the wedding singer. And the first one is the toast from Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
Where he's just like ranting about, first of all, he's pretty fucked up.
Oh, for sure.
And I think he like nods to one of the groomsmen as he's like, hey, you know, I'm going to say some shit right now. And he nods back. He's like, yeah, go for it. So he starts talking about how his brother's always been there for him when he was in rehab, when he lost his car. And like, no, everybody's in shock. Like, they're hoping that he can wrangle this in, I guess.
Yeah, it's not a good way to start off, right?
Definitely not a good way. And so his dad says, like, you're a loser or something like that.
No, he's like, oh, I'm not a loser as much as my dad may think or whatever. And he's like,
yeah,
whatever his brother's name is, isn't so perfect too, you know?
Yeah, and then he describes this time in Puerto Rico when they both got hookers together.
My but favorite also line of that. Pay. Yeah, he's like, I don't know, they were hookers, but I didn't pay anything.
Yeah. So Adam Sandler jumps in, takes the mic, and you think it's like it's saved. He saved the day from there, but no. I think it's a little funny tidbit when he's like, oh, the best man, and Steve Buscemi goes, yeah, best man, better man, yeah,
better man. It's funny because Steve Buscemi, despite being in Adam Sandler movies, the guy is really good at acting, but he still seems to be like in every Adam Sandler production, which is strange to me.
It's very strange, especially after the whole Boardwalk Empire thing. Like, the guy proved that he could be a really good actor. It's like, why is he in these Adam Sandler things?
I guess he must have a really good relationship with Adam Sandler if he's consistently been in Adam Sandler movies.
I guess so, yeah. They must have a really good relationship. But yeah, so Adam Sandler takes the mic back, and then Steve Buscemi takes the guitar and just starts playing nothing, not no notes, just random chords that don't even sound right.
I'm the best guitar player in the world.
Yeah. And then he tells everyone that he was self-taught, and that pretty much concludes like the most awkward drunk speech.
Yeah, well, you're probably telling a story. Ever. Yeah, I was going to say, we were telling a story about how you and your brother, who just got married, picked up prostitutes and you didn't pay. That's like two crimes.
Yeah.
That's soliciting sex and then not paying and then stealing.
And in Puerto Rico, a prostitute. Like, that's got to be a step down from an American prostitute.
Maybe.
Would you consider the Puerto Rican prostitutes American prostitutes as well?
I would consider them American adjacent.
American adjacent prostitutes?
Yeah, it's not like you're going to Tijuana. Like, Puerto Rico is still technically a commonwealth of the United States.
Yeah, but
that's like saying if I picked up a prostitute in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, are they not American?
Well, yeah, but I'm.
But
I'm
now saying, it's an island, so that's why I say it's like America adjacent. Honestly, I wouldn't even consider a Hawaiian or a prostitute in Hawaii American adjacent.
Okay.
Like, once you're off the mainland, even Alaska, an Alaskan prostitute, it's American adjacent. You need to be part of the continental United States
to be able to say that it was an American prostitute.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
So the next scene in The Wedding Singer that I think is hilarious and is an epic failure by Adam Sandler himself is after he gets left at the altar and he finally goes back to work and he's singing for, I guess, the first time since he got left at the altar. You could tell he's fucked up. He's super sad and he's just sitting there on the stage and he's like, starting this whole speech about how at least the bride showed up.
Right.
And he's like, you got to be pretty stoked about that. And the dad like immediately interrupts and he's like, I'm not paying you to hear your thoughts on life or something like that. Right. And Adam Sandler says, you'll listen to every damn word I have to say. Like the epic line from that movie. And he goes into the song, Love Stinks. and eventually gets punched in the face by the bride's father.
Right.
And the night ends, I think, with him throwing up into a trash can.
Yes.
I think so. I think that's how it ends. But yeah, that's like an epic drunk failure. That's like getting drunk at a Christmas party. It's like you made a fool of yourself in front of all your work friends.
You made a stupid speech and then you sang.
Yeah.
Like that's
like worst case scenario. Like that's almost that's on point with like getting murdered as you're about to leave the bar.
Yeah. Horrible speech and then trying to sing while you're completely wasted.
Yeah. And like it seemed like pretty much everybody in there except for a couple of people was sober. And you know, watching this as a sober person, you're like, this is a fucking train wreck. But I can't look away. Like, I know you would probably leave because he's singing. Would you leave?
I would have stayed for the speech. I would have left for the singing.
Okay. I wouldn't have been able to leave for the singing. After the speech that he gave, I would have been like, I got to see this singing.
So, were you like, I'm committed already? Or just like, I don't want to be rude?
No, it's like, this train wreck has more potential with the possibility of him singing, so I want to watch that.
But see, singing good or bad in public, I don't know if it's cringeworthy either way. It's not even like entertaining. I'm just like, oh god, this fucking guy.
I think it's really only cringy when the person is somewhat decent but not good. Like if they're bad, it's just like a joke. It's like a joke if they're bad.
Okay. Yeah.
If they're good, it's like, oh wow, that's cool. But it's nothing special. If they're mediocre and not great, then it's exponentially funnier because they think that they're good. Some people think that they're horrible and some people think that they're amazing. And there's like a whole crowd of people that feel differently about this singing.
That's true.
I like to
That's
be a part point. Of that.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, well, I guess speaking of drinking, Kevin, I have one like last question for you.
Okay.
Before we wrap things up. Who would be your team of drinking buddies, but they're from the past? So in other words, you can either be in a cantina with pirates.
Okay.
A mead hall with Vikings, or a saloon with, I guess, cowboys. We can throw in like Wild West people. They're not all cowboys.
John Wayne. Yeah. Oh, man. It's got to be between the Vikings and the cowboys.
Why not pirates?
I mean, as you got to think about who the people you're hanging out with. Like, pirates want to rape and kill things. So, like,
I think Vikings are pretty much on par with raping and killing as well.
Yeah, but Vikings, I just feel like it's a little different with the Vikings.
Is it? I mean, yeah, they're in cooler temperatures.
That's
the
a
Vikings
win for me.
Are like the Vikings are like the pirates of like the north.
I'll take the cooler temperature. If I have to deal with raping and murdering, and I'm hot, no, I can leave the piracy.
That's true. That's true. Because at least there's no air conditioning in this cantina. Yeah, once again, we're on the same page. I have to go with Mead Hall with Vikings. Because even in the saloon in Arizona.
Fuck that.
Anywhere, honestly, in America.
Nope, well, yeah. Too hot. If you're saying like cowboys, that just assumes that it's like Arizona, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico.
Yeah. Any Wyoming.
Anywhere that's hot, basically.
Right.
And count me out.
Yeah, count me out in the hot. If there's no AC, God.
It's funny that this was like a drinking question and it turned into like what place has cool weather.
I mean, but that's something you got to think of, especially when you're drinking.
I don't like to be hot when I'm drinking.
Yeah. And despite what people think, it does not cool you off. I really don't think it does.
No, I think it heats you up, especially some like whiskey heats you up.
I know like scientifically it thins your blood out, right? But
yeah,
so I guess in a sense it does make you cooler, but it still dehydrates you. And I can't imagine being like sweating from dehydration and also sweating because it's just god like ungodly out. Just because I'm putting the cantina with the pirates like on a chop like Jamaica, or something.
Yeah, it's humid as fuck. It's probably like high 90s. Yeah, it's not right. good.
No, not good at all. Meat hall with Vikings. You know there's a fire going.
There's a fire.
And
it's
then everyone's still wearing. Everyone's still wearing coats.
Yeah.
So it's like comfortable. And also you're drinking mead, which for me, I'd rather drink mead than rum or whiskey when it comes to like pirates. So if anything, you're drinking beer. You're drinking the closest thing to beer. So
yeah. And you're getting less fucked up less fast.
Right.
Because if you're a pirate, you're drinking rum nonstop.
Right.
There's no like, I've hit that happy medium, I'm done. It's like, no, I have to finish this whole bottle of rum, and then I'm going to be, like, obliterated drunk.
Right. And if I'm thinking of, like, what goes on in a meat hall, in my mind, it's, like, axe-throwing contests, and people fight, like they're, everyone surrounds, like, someone, like, wrestling or something.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds fun to me. The cantina, I just think, like, everyone is, like, either getting into a huge brawl, and then there's just like rum and it just smells sweet, like yeah. sweet alcohol. And then saloon, I mean, I guess I could get into like the card playing aspect of a saloon, but everyone's wearing like three-piece suits and it's hot.
Yeah.
So it really just boils down to the hot thing, and I'm going to go with
yeah
meat hall with Vikings.
I mean, even if it were, let's just say it were the same temperature everywhere in this scenario. So the cowboy thing, everything's dusty. I have trouble dealing with dust. I'm okay. not a fan of it. I don't like being dirty. And your clothes are just like constantly covered in dust. And you have to wear a cowboy hat. I mean, I'm not opposed to wearing hats, but.
You don't have to wear a cowboy hat because they have like those like.
You're a bitch if you don't wear a bowler. Cowboy hat in old times.
No, I would have worn like the bowler with the. Tie and stuff. I wouldn't have been like cowboy.
Okay.
With like a vest. I would have done like the, like a Westworld, like the suit, but with like a bowler hat or something.
I would have gone full on cowboy. Vest.
You wouldn't have, okay.
Leather chaps. Yeah.
Oh, so you're like, you just roughed some cattle.
Yeah. Something. I just came into town to get another can of beans. Yeah. Like that's the type of
okay.
cowboy right, that so I want.
You and I are on different. I'm like, I just came from San Francisco.
Oh, no. I just came from yeah. mining gold and just in town
and,
for the night.
And being an oil man.
Yeah, being an oil man.
Just telling her, I'm an oil man. Okay, cool. Well, guys, let us know what you would like to do. We'll post the poll on Twitter to see which drinking buddies from the past you guys would like to hang out with. Again, Twitter and Instagram are at Wicked Hot Talk, so give us a follow on there. So you can get with all the news and see all the polls and all that good stuff. And as always, if you give us a follow or subscribe on iTunes, as well as a 5-star review, we would greatly appreciate it. Kevin, I don't know if you have anything else, but I think that pretty much sums up our 21st episode, which is crazy. It's crazy that we've been doing, we've literally been consistent the entire year.
Yeah, we've been doing this since like the beginning of January. We've done 21 and we haven't missed a day yet.
One episode.
Yeah. Which wasn't the case before.
Right. Fucking crazy.
I think it took us like 8 or 9 months to get to 21 episodes last time.
Did it? Jesus.
Yeah, with the old format. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, shit, we're on a roll then.
Oh, is that it? Bye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. Bye.